Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Amen. I'm excited to be back with you guys this week. We had an awesome time last week, and I hope that you have remembered to keep in mind to not be distracted away from or deceived away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And in a moment, we'll read that scripture again that we read last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I want to quickly review for any of those that you weren't here. We are talking about a series, Back to the Basics, and getting back to the things that we would be prone to skip over or to forget about because they just seem so simple. But if you forget the most simple things, then you'll never be able to understand the most complex things. And if we refuse to do the simple little things, the little simple steps of obedience, then we'll never get to the fullness of the blessing that God has for us. So that's what we're talking about, is back to the basics. I'm excited to get into this again tonight and unpack it a little bit more. But tonight, I want to talk to you about, well, let's read our scripture first. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. I just want to read this to you because this is the basis for everything that we're talking about each week, because Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 3 in his second epistle to them, and he said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Okay, listen, I love that God made it simple for us to come to him. He gave us Jesus. He sacrificed. There's no other foundation that can be laid. So that's what we talked about last week. We laid the groundwork. If you missed it, I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing. You can go watch it on Facebook Live, listen to the podcast, whatever. But we're going to jump right in tonight, because tonight I want to talk to you about how to deal with offense, okay? One of the most basic things is knowing how to, as a believer, forgive people that wronged you, okay? And we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about this because it's very important. Jesus said, in fact, if you do not forgive others your faults, your Father who is in heaven will not forgive you. So this is one of the most basic principles that we have in the faith, is forgiveness, okay? That because we have been forgiven, we should in turn forgive. And so I preached this about a year ago in Fort Payne, but as I was preparing, the Holy Spirit brought it back to my remembrance, and he said, this is something that I want you to talk about and something that I want you to highlight, because this is one of the basics that if we forget, we'll miss out on everything, okay? And so those of you that are here from Fort Payne, if you've heard this before, apparently y'all just need a refresher in forgiveness and in how to deal with offense. And in fact, Paul would write to the Philippians, he said, that for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but he said this, I wrote it down. He says, it protects you. So when your pastor says something over and over again, it's not that he doesn't have anything new to say. Sometimes it's because you haven't gotten it yet, and there's protection that comes from it being repeated over and over again. It's not a tedious thing. It's for your protection, okay? So let's read tonight, and I'm going to ask you to do something with me. If you have your Bible, grab your Bible and stand to your feet. At the Well Fort Payne, we like to stand for the reading of the Word just to show honor to his Word. And so we're going to read Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. And then we'll talk about this for a few moments together tonight. This is Jesus speaking, all right? And he says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, we'll read this together. I'll give you a moment to get there. All right, I'm hearing less and less pages, so now we'll go ahead and start. Matthew 18, picking up in verse 18, Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Let's pray. Father, I ask you that tonight you would empower me to preach your word as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that the people that are here under the sound of my voice, listening online, wherever, that we would receive your word with gladness tonight, God, and that you would produce a fruitful harvest in our lives through it. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the word of God, which guides and protects and prepares us to walk in what you have for us. And we just give you this time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, when I read this this passage. How many of you guys would consider yourself Pentecostal or charismatic? Okay, this is still a Pentecostal charismatic church. Pentecostals love promises like this. We love to read, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We just get fired up. In fact, I've heard so many sermons preached on this scripture in my life, and every single time, it's just a blowout. Everybody gets so excited. Everyone's hooping and hollering and screaming, and everybody just can't wait to get back outside those doors and start binding and loosing. Anybody else grow up like that? And you've heard those sermons like, I'm gonna bind and I'm gonna loose. And what usually happens is we spend the next week binding and loosing, okay? And we just bind everything and loose everything, right? It's just like, I bind you, pint of bluebell, in Jesus' name, you will not have control over me, right? Or I loose my financial blessing in Jesus' name. It's coming my way, right? And we just begin to flippantly put these things out, and somebody cuts us off in traffic, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your dwelling places, right? It's just like whatever comes to our mind, we're just like, I'm binding and I'm loosing. But why does it feel so often that there's no power in our binding and no power in our loosing? Why is it that we can say, I bind you in the name of Jesus and nothing happens? Or I loose this in Jesus' name and nothing happens. Is it because God dangled a carrot in front of our face and was like, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven? Just keep coming. Just keep believing it. Just keep saying it. Is it that we don't have the faith necessary to see those things happen? No, because Romans tells us that every man's been given a measure of faith. We all have the ability to believe. So the answer is not that God's promises aren't true. The answer is not that we don't have enough faith. So there must be another answer. And I've come to realize that the answer to this is that when we read this scripture, we don't understand the context and what Jesus is talking about. All we hear is the promise and the power that I can bind and I can loose. And then we go around, we start binding and loosing, and we don't realize that can actually get us in more trouble than it can get us in good. If you remember, there are these seven sons of Sceva that they thought that they had the power to bind and loose. And when they begin to try to bring demons out of somebody, they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? They overpowered those jokers, stripped them naked, beat them up a little bit, and sent them running out. So you've got to be careful and understand and realize where the power comes from and the context in what Jesus is saying, because you are not going to walk in power if you don't understand the principles behind the power that God has issued for you to walk in, okay? So let's talk about the context of what he is saying, because I truly believe that in America, we don't get context. Here's why. It's because we go to church and the pastor can only preach for about 30 or 45 minutes because that's all that people will really give him to listen to and hear the word of God be taught. And for most Christians, that's the only time they're going to hear the word of God all week. And so they don't understand what's actually being said. And they hear maybe two or three verses during the time of a sermon, because really if the pastor tried to add any more in that, then he wouldn't be able to unpack and translate what God is saying to the church and bring revelation. So Christians in America, for the most part, hear about 2 to 3 verses of scripture a week. If they're really good Christians, they hear, 6 to 9 verses a week if they go on Wednesday nights. Or if you read your Bible, you get a little bit more than that, I'm sure. But I believe that most people don't read the Word of God and study it for themselves, and we don't understand context. So what I want to say to you tonight, and this is part of bring it back to the basics, is we need more of the Word of God. You need the word of God in your life. We sang it tonight. I will build my life upon your word. If you're building your life upon any other foundation than the word of God, it is faulty and it will not stand, okay? We need more of the word of God in our life, because what God says is always more important than what man says. So why is it that we're more inclined to go to Fox News when we first wake up, or Facebook when we first wake up, or check our text messages than we are to get to the word of God? It's because what man says actually is more important to us, because importance is always shown by what you go to first and by where you spend your time. Okay, so we need more of the Word of God. I'm a firm believer in this, and you're in a house that preaches the truth, thank God, but I'm a firm believer that you should always judge your preacher by what the Word of God says, not judge the Word of God by what your preacher says. That's where a lot of people get in trouble, is they think, because my preacher said it, it must be true. But anything can be taken out of context, right? That's why we have to understand the context. And in Acts chapter 17, we're introduced to a people in Berea, and they are more fair-minded, the Bible says, than the people that were in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. Okay? Why? Because they didn't want to be deceived. I want to encourage you, get in the Word on a daily basis. Feed yourself with the truth of the Word of God. The world is full of deception, but the Word of God is full of truth. And the more you feed yourself with truth, the less likely you are to be deceived. Okay? So, context. What is Jesus talking about? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us these promises that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And when we don't understand the context of this teaching, then we won't be able to reap the benefits of the promises that he gives to us. So don't just take my word for it. I want you to study it yourself, educate yourself. But his premise for these promises is how to deal with offense. Okay? Because if you go back up a few verses, he says, and he begins to teach, if your brother sins against you. And he teaches for a few verses on how to deal with somebody that has wronged you or offended you. And then he says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. When? After you know how to deal with the offense that somebody has brought against you. And once you know how to truly deal with it and forgive them and find healing for that, then you'll have the power. But you can't have power when you are living with offense and unforgiveness in your heart. So we've got to know how to forgive. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how to deal when offense comes to us through believers and through unbelievers. And many people don't understand this, but the way you deal with offense between a believer and an unbeliever is actually two different ways. Okay? You don't treat everybody the same. And we'll talk about that next week. And so hopefully you'll come back and you'll hear about that. But what you first have to do is deal with the offenses that you commit. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay? Because Jesus wasn't giving empty promises when he said we have power, but he was showing us in context that when you come together and you ask in unity, that's when nothing will be withheld from you, okay? So we've got to have unity. We can't have unity if we have bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment and offense in our heart. So first we have to deal with offense before we're going to be able to walk in these promises. In Matthew chapter 18, though, I want to go back a few verses to verse 7, because really this whole chapter, for the most part, Jesus is talking about offense and forgiveness, okay? So go back with me to verse 7. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 18 says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom offenses come, okay? Jesus is teaching that as long as we're on the earth, there's going to be opportunity for you to be offended in your heart. As long as there's offenses, woe to the world because of offenses. He said offenses, they must come. Not they might come, but they must come. They're going to come. You are going to have opportunities every single day to get offended. Okay? You don't believe me? Think about it. You're going to have opportunities from your friends. You're going to have opportunities from your neighbors. You're going to have opportunities from your loved ones, from church people, from worldly people, from brothers, from sisters, from total strangers to get offended. As long as there's people on the earth, offenses must come. They're going to give you opportunities to be offended within your heart. And I want to give you some synonyms for the word offended, okay? It means hurt, upset, wounded, insulted, angered, disgruntled, annoyed, fed up, vexed, and ruffled. We have all felt this way before, right? You ever just get your feathers ruffled? I am one, I will be the first to admit, I'm one to get my feathers ruffled, okay? I'm not one to get embarrassed, but I'm one to get my feathers ruffled, okay? I can let little things get to me, get under my skin. And don't, everybody right now is like, why are they letting this guy preach? Don't get that judgmental, because I think I'm the only person in this room that is easily agitated, okay? All right, it's just, I understand my need for Jesus better than you understand your need for Jesus. That's it, okay? But somebody cuts you off in traffic, right? And immediately your day is ruined. Over. This is the worst day I've ever had in my entire life. Why? That guy just cut me off in traffic. I'm offended, right? You don't even know that guy. You'll probably never even see him again, but you are so mad. Or just one, oh my goodness, just one comment or one look from your spouse. They don't even have to open their mouth. They cut their eyes at you and you're just like, And an argument ensues. It's World War III within your home, right? Because as long as you're on the earth, offenses are going to come. I mean, one comment from somebody can just throw you off. They mess up your order at McDonald's, right? You know what I would say to that? That's what you get for going to McDonald's. I'm sorry. There's no justification in that one, right? Especially if there's a Chick-fil-A in town. The Lord saw you drive past this chicken restaurant and pull into the enemy's camp. That's what it was. And there's curses for disobedience and blessings for obedience, okay? So I just say on that one, that's what you get for going to McDonald's. But Jesus said offenses, they must come, okay? Some translations say offenses are necessary. That's literally how it's translated some ways in Greek because that's part of the definition of the word. Offenses are necessary. The best translation, though, for the word offense in Greek is stumbling block. He said, woe to the one who becomes a stumbling block. Woe to the one through whom offenses come. And I wonder, how serious is Jesus about this? Well, if you go back to verse 6, right before here, verse 7, he says, if anybody causes a little one to stumble, it'd be better for him to tie a millstone around his neck and jump off the dock and drown himself. He's serious about this, okay? Woe to the one through whom offenses come. It's the same word that when Jesus looked at Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. He was saying, Satan, you are a stumbling block. You are trying to get me to stumble and falter in this walk that God has called me to, in the life that he has and the death that he has me to die. And you are, because Peter was arguing with Jesus and rebuking him concerning Jesus's walk to the cross. And his pathway, and Jesus said, get thee behind me because you are a stumbling block to me. You're trying to cause me to stumble. So be sure that opportunity after opportunity will come for offense. But offense coming and being offended are two different things. He said offense is going to come. He did not say you have to be offended by everything. He did not say that every single time that somebody says something to you, does something to you that you don't like, you don't understand, you don't think was right, you have to get vexed, ruffled, angry, mad, offended, hurt, bitter, upset. He said it's going to come, but how are you going to deal with that? We'll talk more about that next week. But first, we have to understand that Jesus said, woe to the man through whom they come. That's what we want to deal with tonight. Because Jesus wants you and me to live a life free of intentional offense. I throw that word intentional in there because some people are going to get offended no matter what you do. You tell them you like their shirt, all they're going to hear is you hate their pants, right? They're just, that's it, right? But there are some people that they're going to get offended. So I'm not saying that we can live a life free of offending everyone because some people are, they're offended, they're going to continue to be offended. But he wants us, it's like Paul said in Romans, he said, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men, as much as you can help it, right? So we want to live free, a life that is free of giving offense to other people. And we want to not offer a place for people to harbor hurt and unforgiveness in their heart. But I realize that some people think they're so spiritual by offending people. You ever met people like that? They think that people are offended by their spirituality, right? And they say things like, well, I don't care if they're offended, it's the truth. I would venture to say it's not the truth that offends them. It's you. It's the way you said it. It's the way you treat them. It's the way that you carry yourself. They're not offended by your truth. They're offended by your attitude. They're not offended by truth. They're offended by the lack of love that you have in speaking the truth, okay? So Paul said this in the book of Ephesians. He said, speak the truth in love. There's nothing wrong with speaking the truth. We should never not speak the truth unless we can't speak it in love. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, If you continue in my words, you'll be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not offended, free. So if you're really teaching them the truth, they should be free, not offended. But if we think we're so spiritual and we can just say it however we want, whenever we want, then we have a bunch of people that are propagating hate and disguising it as truth. And that's where we've missed it for so, so long, is we just say, well, they're just offended because it's truth. And really all that is an excuse for us to continue being mean and rude and bitter and just saying whatever we want and whenever we want and throwing a blanket of spirituality on top of it and expecting them to just deal with it. They're just offended because it's the truth. No, the truth is supposed to help people and heal people, not hurt people. Okay, let me show you an example of this in Jesus's life. I always want to look for an example of Jesus because he gave us the perfect way to do it. In Matthew chapter 17, so, and here's again what we don't understand about context, because I have nothing against the Bible being broken up in chapters, but because it was broken up in chapters, we tend to think that this stands alone from this, but really this whole thing that Jesus is talking about, Matthew 18, started back in Matthew chapter 17. Okay, because in verse 24 through 27, it says, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, did your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, I love that, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Now, Jesus has established that neither he nor Peter are a citizen in the kingdom of the world. Because he said, who do they take casts from? The sons are from strangers. They take it from strangers. Okay, well, he said, so the sons are free. Obviously, Jesus is the Son of God, and anyone that gets saved is recognized as the Son of God, so the sons are free. But nevertheless, even though we're sons, even though we're strangers in this world and we're not the sons of this world, lest we offend them, Peter, regardless of the fact that they were free, he still chose, not wanting to offend the tax collectors, to send Peter on a mission to pay their taxes, lest we offend them. Jesus didn't say, I don't care if they're offended, it's the truth. He said, the position that we want to take, Peter, is that we won't compromise on the truth, but I'm not going to go out of my way to hurt anybody. That's the position that Jesus took. Why is it that we feel the need to go out of our way to hurt and offend people? When Jesus said, woe to him through whom offenses come. And that lest we offend them. That's why it's important to understand the definition of the word offense is stumbling block. We shouldn't want to cause anyone to stumble. Why would we want to keep anybody from finishing their race, the race of faith? Right? Why would we want to keep anybody from going further and getting closer to God? But when we are walking as people through whom offenses come, that's exactly what we're doing. We are making others to stumble. And so why did Jesus do this? I believe it was twofold. I believe one, he wanted to keep a good testimony. He wanted to have, listen, it may not be cool, but it's still kingdom to have a good reputation. A good name is to be chosen above great riches, okay? But I believe it's also because he didn't want to cause anybody to stumble, and he wanted to see them become a part of the kingdom of God. And so we shouldn't want to cause anybody to stumble. But so the first way to deal with offense is this. Don't be guilty of it, okay? That's the first step in this lesson of this week and next week, how to deal with offense. The first step is don't be guilty of offense. Okay, next week we'll talk about when people offend you, but if we don't deal with us first being offensive towards people, then that won't matter, okay? So the quickest way to offend someone, can anyone guess? It's your mouth. That's the quickest way to offend anybody, okay? It's a surefire way to just get underneath people's skin. In fact, Proverbs says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut, okay? I think we could all benefit from learning how to shut our mouth, okay? Just don't talk so much. Why? Because it's the quickest way to offend someone. It's the quickest way also I found to sin is with your mouth. Okay? President Abraham Lincoln said it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And I think that's what we end up doing a lot of times is we feel the need to open our mouth. And the problem is we're so quick to speak that we forget to think. But listen what James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Here's what I want to encourage you with this week. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'm sure you see a lot of things like I do on the internet that make you angry. Opinions, thoughts, problems, decisions made by politicians. But you have to remember two things. One, no one has ever won an argument on the internet. Okay? And two, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Don't let every little basement dweller on Facebook get your feathers ruffled. It's not worth it, okay? It's not worth it. But also, remember that hurt people, and offended people offend people. So listen more than you mouth off. That person at work that gets on your last nerve, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Instead of giving them your 2 cents worth, why don't you listen to their 2 cents worth? And you might begin to find out and see why they think like they think, why they dress like they dress, why they live like they live. But your anger and your lashing out and using your words as ammunition to bring pain in somebody else's life and your judgmental thoughts and your judgmental words will never produce the righteousness of God in your life or in their life, ever. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know what it does? It lays stumbling blocks. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Let's build stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. That's what Jesus did. He said, I came to lay my life down. Let's lay our life down and say, you know what? Don't trip over me. Step on me to get to the next level. Let's lay our lives down. Let's say, you know what? I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help you get to a better place. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to cause you to trip, cause you to fall. I'm trying to give you a step up to another level of living so that you can see God and know God and you can have peace and you can have life. So we need to be like Jesus. Like he said to Peter, you know what, Peter? Lest we offend them. We've lived through a crazy world in the last 2 years, and I wish a lot more people would have said, lest we offend them. Yeah. Instead of fighting with one another, being angry all the time, ridiculing one another, and it isn't just Republicans and Democrats, it's just people, it's churches, it's family members, it's just, but what if we all took the approach of Jesus and said, you know what, I don't want to be a stumbling block, so lest I offend them. Because the people that frustrate you are loved and created by God just like you're loved and created by God. And we can't reach them if we don't love them. We can't reach them if we're too busy offending them. Getting mad, ranting, arguing, it's not beneficial. It only tears down and it never builds up. It becomes a stumbling block. And we have to remember, I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. Because that's what we do is we begin to look at the person instead of the problem. So don't look at the person because the person is not the problem. They're dealing with problems in their own life and we need to stop being so quick to judge and we need to be quicker to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, okay? Remember this, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers for they shall inherit the earth. I've seen a lot more war starters than peacemakers as of late in my life. But listen to what Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This was his prayer for them. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, listen to this, and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. He prayed that their love would abound more and more, not that their political agenda would be fulfilled, not that their opinion would be heard, but that their love and their knowledge and their discernment would grow. He wanted them to live lives of excellence and be free of offense. That's what he was praying for them. That's what he was instructing them in. That was what he was guiding them as the leader of their church into, saying, I don't want you to give any reason for anybody to stumble, but I want you to be loving. Listen, you don't have to condone someone's behavior to love them, okay? You don't have to condone someone's behavior to pray for them. You don't have to condone someone's behavior to help them, support them, comfort them, or even listen to them. But we tend to think, well, I'm a person of truth. I'm a person of holiness. How could I in any way, you know, listen or be with that filth? We've got the wrong mentality entirely if that's what we're thinking. Jesus never once compromised his convictions, but he always extended love and grace in every single situation. And he chose, I don't want to be a stumbling block for other people. So I want to ask you tonight, and you need to be honest with yourself. Am I more of a stumbling block or a stepping stone? For my children, for my wife, for my husband, for my coworkers, for my neighbors, for my friends on Facebook. Some people share stuff on Facebook because they know it'll make somebody else mad. That's wrong. I don't care how funny you think it is. It's wrong. If you purposefully want to ruffle somebody's feathers, it is wrong. I don't care how right whatever you shared was, because your motive was wrong. Your heart was wrong. And I fear that in the name of standing up for the truth, we've pushed more people away than we have drawn in. In the name of I'm going to be a godly person and I'm going to stand for the truth and I'm not going to compromise and I'm not going to back down, especially this year when so much is going on and how many people could have come into the kingdom of God, but they were so turned off by your nastiness that they didn't want anything to do with the church, anything to do with God. Anything to do with love, grace, or forgiveness. Because every time you offend someone, you are pushing them further away and you're making them fall down and making it harder for them to get back up again. We're being a stumbling block for them. Listen to me. They don't have to think like us, act like us, dress like us, talk like us, vote like us to come and be a part of us. Why are we drawing lines when we should be giving open doors? And we act all the time and we just think that, well, because they're not like us, they can't be a part of us. You didn't used to dress like us, talk like us, act like us, okay? I love what it says in the book of Titus. He says, we once were all, he lists this, all these awful things. He says, and we were the same way, but when the kindness and the love of God appeared, it changed us and it redeemed us and it made us new. So what we've got to remember is what the people that we're trying to save, we used to be like that. But we forget the simple things. What do we forget? That we used to be just like that. May we never forget that if it were not for grace, and if it were not for mercy, and if it were not for the blood of Jesus, and if it were not for the fact that he chose that even though we were offensive people to redeem us from the you know, every lawless deed and all the things that we have committed, we wouldn't be sitting where we are tonight. We wouldn't be who we are today. So this isn't a club of perfect people. It's a family. The church is a family that simply longs to draw closer to God with every passing breath. So let's remember when we see the hurting and when we see the broken and when we see the lost. Let's remember when we see the people that get on our nerves that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? Because your anger is not going to produce the righteousness of God in their life. Lest we offend them, like Jesus said. You know what? I don't agree with everything you do, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to purposely offend you. That's the heart that Jesus had. Because when they asked him, should we pay taxes? He said, let me see a coin. They gave him a coin. He said, whose inscription is on this? They said, it's Caesar's. He said, well, then give to Caesar what's Caesar's. But give to God what's God's. And when they asked Peter, do you pay taxes? He said, yeah, he pays taxes. Why? Because he doesn't want to offend them. Jesus was fully God's. He didn't know them anything. But he still chose, I'm going to give them what they are asking for. Why? Not because I necessarily agree with it. Not because I feel like I owe it to them. But because their soul is worth more than my pride. Their soul is worth more than my opinion. Their soul is worth more than my agenda. I want to encourage you. When it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, lose your agenda, lose your political sides, lose all of your lines that you have drawn within your head of what a person is supposed to look like, and realize, I don't want to offend them. Never compromise who God is or who he has called you to be. You don't have to become like someone to help someone. Think, and people that take that approach, it baffles me. I don't have to get in a car accident to help someone that's been in a car accident. So why would I have to lower my convictions in order to help someone get out of their addiction, right? Or to get out of their lower level of living? Realize we are not there to help people stumble. We're there to help people get up, okay? And so we don't have to compromise on our conviction, but we want to be people that are sincere. Like Paul said to the Philippians, without offense, even until the day of Christ, more and more so until he comes. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how to deal with somebody that offends you, which happens. It's going to happen. We talked about that earlier. But we can't deal with that until we deal with the problems that have us causing offense in other people's life. So step one, how do you deal with offense? What's the first step dealing with offense? Don't be guilty of it. Have pure motives in your heart. So offenses are going to come, but make sure they don't come through you, okay? Now, Jesus said this. He said, deal with the plank that's in your own eye before you try to help your brother with the speck that's in his eye. Here's where we get it wrong with offense, is we want to put all the focus on the people that have offended us. But you start with the offenses that you have committed against other people. You start with dealing with the plank that's in your own eye. You start, and you here's how you start it, by going to your spouse and saying, hey, babe, I'm sorry the way that I've treated you. I'm sorry for speaking to you like that. I'm sorry for getting angry. I'm sorry for tearing you down instead of building you up. It's when you go to your children and you begin to say, hey, I want to apologize to you. Why, Dad? Because in some ways I've been a stumbling block in your life instead of a stepping stone. And I don't want to hold you back from who God has called you to be. I want to prepare you for who he's called you to be. So please forgive me, right? There's two examples in the Bible of people that are often used because they're so relatable and because so many people know the story, but it's the people of Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, and King David, who is the second king. And Saul knew, according to scripture, that David would become king. He admits it from his own mouth. He says, I know that you will be king, but he still hunted him like a dog and was an offense to him every single day. David prepared his replacement in Solomon. He groomed him. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it is all Solomon saying, my father taught me this. And now he's teaching his son. So we look at these two people. One was a stumbling block and one chose, I'm going to be a stepping stone, to the point of I'm going to prepare everything that you need to build a house for God, Solomon. I'm going to get everything in line. Here's the blueprints. Here's the plans. I wanted to build it, but God's not going to let me build it. But I want to see you succeed, Solomon. I want to see you go further. So we've got a stumbling block and we've got a stepping stone. And only you get to choose which one you want to be. Woe to the man through whom offenses come. If you're somebody that is always offending people, this message is for you tonight. If you're someone that every now and then you offend people, this message is for you tonight. We all need to be people that have a heart like Jesus that say, you know what? Lest we offend them. Because I don't know about you, but I want the power to bind and to loose. I want to be able to walk into a room and have authority in Christ Jesus and to be able to take control. And I know that, and I wanted to purposely keep it kind of low-key, light tonight, because it's really easy to pump people up about binding and loosing, but we've got to remember, we'll never get it. We'll never walk in that power until we're in unity. Psalm 133 says, how blessed and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil running down and soaking into the beard of Aaron, into his garments. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon. It's refreshing. And there, God has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. Where brethren dwell together in unity. That's why Jesus said, if two of you agree on anything, you can't agree if you're offended at one another. You can't agree if you're bitter at one another. You can't agree if you're holding resentment towards one another. So we need to stop being people that are offensive. Like I said, some people are just going to get offended. But in our heart, did I want to offend them? Yeah. Because sometimes the true answer, if we're being really honest, is yes, I wanted to offend them. I wanted to hurt my spouse's feelings. Why? Because they hurt my feelings. So I intentionally didn't do what they asked. I intentionally didn't say something to them. I intentionally, or a coworker, a friend, whoever it is, what's inside of your heart? Do you want to offend them? Or do you want to be a stepping stone to help them get to the next level in their life? Let's choose to be stepping stones. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I want to encourage you to not be afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and ask him, God, am I a person through whom offenses come? And the answer for that is yes, you are. Because the book of 1 John says, if anyone says that they don't have any sin in them, they're a liar and the truth is not within them. We all at times offend people, hurt people's feelings. But tonight, I believe, is a night where we can say, God, I don't want to be like that anymore. I ask that you would create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. I pray that you would cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, God. I pray that you would purge me with the hyssop and cleanse me that I may be.